Record this. I'm sorry. We are going to start a topic on the tongue. And this is it. This is the guy that we're going to talk about. And it all comes in different shapes, sizes. It's the same color, universally speaking. But, you know, it's a little thing, little muscle. But it's interesting. I was thinking about it as I was driving here. It must be so dangerous that this is one of the muscles that God put it in a cage. Right? Think about it. I mean, you have teeth. I mean, for those of us who have teeth, like we all do. Whether they are real or fake or whatever it is, it's a cage. And when you close it, you know, it has your face and your teeth protecting from it doing crazy stuff because it tends to do crazy stuff. And neurosurgeons, I was reading it somewhere, that have found that, you know, what the tongue communicates, you know, it says a lot about you. You know, it says a lot about your character. It says a lot about your ancestry. It says a lot about your spirituality, right? And the way you speak is the way you become. Have you ever seen negative people? I used to have this lady, bless her heart, always loved her, but I just could not understand why she was so negative. And it came to a point where it was very frustrating. I was doing everything in my power. Nothing made her happy. She always found something negative to say. Whether it was my tie, I don't know. She couldn't comment on my hair, but she commented about everything else. And I loved her dearly. I really did. But I just felt like there must be something that I don't understand. She had a very pierced, and she made a lot of enemies in her life. Even her own children turned against her, you see. And then I met an older minister who was retired, and I said, look, you come from the same city, old country. I said, you know, what is wrong with her? I said, I'm really trying to love her, but it just seems she's always negative. He says, hey, you've never met the mother. I said, she looks like a saint compared to the mother. Now, I say all this because sometimes, you know, our tongue is really the communicator of our hearts. You know, what's inside? It comes out from this. Now, but we live in an age that also the tongue is not the only element, but our thumbs are, right? Now, if you think about the social media, people are going crazy. They're not using their tongues. Teenagers don't use their tongues anymore. If you ever see my kids sit at the back driving 4 hours, they don't say a word. Meanwhile, they start laughing all of a sudden. Go like, they don't take medication, but what went wrong, right? But then you realize they've got a text, right? Or they are talking. And most of the stuff that they're saying is just garbage, right? Most of the stuff. How's the thing? Oh, did you hear this? And I was also doing a thing, study that how many words we use every day? And apparently women use more words than men. But it didn't surprise me. It really did not. But maybe just men are at work and sometimes, you know, they come home and women just wants to talk and then they switch, whatever it is. But they tend to speak more. Now, it doesn't make it right or wrong. I think I will be above average and speak more than whatever words, 7,000-8,000 words a day. I mean, that's a lot of pages, right? But how many words do you use and what do you say, really, at the end of the day? I mean, you could say a lot, but not much. And do what you say, does it have any value? I mean, kids say, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Or when the kids are in the back of the car, when are we getting there? When are we getting there? You know, it's the same thing. Now, those things add up. But what are we really trying to communicate with this muscle? And some of it is just garbage. But some of it is anger. Some of it is just, you know, it shows what's inside us. And have you ever said the wrong thing at the wrong time, in the wrong place? I do this every day. And I go like, oh, should not have said, I should have known better. We all know better, but sometimes it feels good to say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong place. No? It feels good, but it's not the right thing to do. And who does the job? The guy between the cage. The moment we open that cage, and we have full control over the keys of that cage, right? The moment we open that, he just, you know, that thing goes crazy, like a Tasmanian devil. Have you ever seen a Tasmanian devil? He's just like all over, boom, boom, you know. But when you try to hold it back, it's not, you know, there's nothing that's holding it back. So this is the guy that we're going to talk about. I'm not talking about this guy only. Neurosurgeons are talking about this, but also Jesus' brother talked about this in James chapter 3. And we're going to talk about that. But let's say a few things about what Scripture says. Scripture tells us to set a guard. David prays, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." He's almost talking about the cage, right? Keep a guard there. We all need those guards. And I believe the Holy Spirit is the best guard that we can have. In the age of masks, right? I mean, no matter how many masks you put, that tongue can still do damage. right through the masks. And set a guard. And have you ever tried to not talk for 24 hours? You know, I tried this. I went to a monastery in Oxford when we lived in London. Went to a monastery in Oxford purposefully. My wife said, "You're not going to survive." And I said, no, I want to discipline myself and not speak for a day. She looked at me, she says, "What about food?" I said, "Well, there's always a pub that you could go there, cheat." But I went there and everybody, all the monks did not say a word. You know, they were all sitting. And initially, the first 4 or 5 hours seemed very strange. I was getting agitated. But then, you know, the food was served. There was only one person. Everybody bowed their heads and just prayed. And then there was this one person who was just sharing world news. And then the monks go down and then they pray silently. I really could not do it. I just found it very, very hard, emotionally, physically. I felt caged. But it was a discipline. It was a discipline, but it taught me something that I stayed 3 days, 2 nights and 3 days. I just had to go and just talk to myself. And there were no cell phones back then, right? And then the soup was not enough, so I had to cheat every day, go to McDonald's and back. It was called the meditation walks. I took meditative walks, but it was spent at McDonald's. But you see how we have been disciplined not to not say anything. We're always wanting to say something. My views, my ideas, my this, my... And a lot of it just gets us into trouble. Somebody said, as you go through life, you're going to have many opportunities to keep your mouth shut. Take advantage of them all. You know, but there are sometimes you should not be taking advantages of not saying anything. There are times that you must speak up. You must speak up, and you might be the only person who's there to speak up, but you must, correct? Because if you don't, then you're siding with the error. He agrees. Now I could continue at least. Tony agrees. Now, on bullyingstatistics.org, it states that according to Yale University study, bullying victims are up to 9 times more likely to commit suicide than those who are not being bullied. A study in Britain also found that at least half of all suicide attempts among youth are related to bullying. Now, just before I move to this, don't read this yet. Everybody's reading it. So that's how you encourage people. Don't do it, they do. You know, what's bullying? Bullying is when a person says something hurtful, right? There's always an antidote. You know, families play a huge role as we are raising our kids. We should not make them self-confident. You know, everything we do is we try to build self-confidence. We need to build God confidence in them. Because that's really going to uplift them. Because if they truly know who they are in Christ, then it really doesn't matter. Those hurts are going to come and go. It's not going to go deep in. And this inner security can only be built by God. Bullying is wrong, but bullying can take all forms. I remember going to a school where my son was bullied by a 65-year-old man. He was 5 years old. Now, everything within me was just saying, and the school did not handle it well, because they were trying to protect themselves from being sued, and my thing was just not suing. And I went and told to the principal, "I forgive the person who bullied my son, because that's what we've taught him." Oh, it was a great opportunity to get rich very quickly. But you want a greater lessons for your son to learn. He was not affected by it, but I wanted to make sure that, because there were witnesses of what happened. He was just being a bully. You know, it was 6 feet, and my son was just a little boy, 5 years old. And so there are times there were, and there were a board sitting. I said, as Christians, we're called to forgive people. Now, whether it went into their minds or not, it doesn't matter. It went to my son's head. And I wanted to put God's security in him versus what people do. So bullying is a big problem, but we need God's confidence in the kids. Every kid must know that they are loved by God no matter what the world says. Now, did you know also that the words that you speak, this was interesting for me, can also greatly affect you. Did you know that the words that you speak can also greatly affect your actions, your entire body, and can determine the course of your life? According to the findings by leading neurosurgeons, the speech center in the brain has total dominion over all the other nerves in the body. Did you know this? For example, if a person keeps saying, oh, I'm too weak to do that, oh, I can't do this, I don't have the ability to do this job, I'm afraid to try, right away, the nerves receive the message from the central nervous system saying that they are weak or incapable, and their body begins to adjust itself to according to what they're thinking. Did you know this? I mean, I've seen this in reality, where if people truly think that they are not capable or I'm too weak, they will be weak. They will be absolutely weak. They will not function. The more you, and Satan will use these things. And the body, God has made it in a beautiful way, because scripture tells us, if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is fully developed character and a perfect man. Or here, it's more a righteous man or a woman, able to control his old body and to curb his entire nature. See, what's happening inside you can determine the lifestyle and the life that you are living. Right? James chapter 3:2. Then neurosurgeons' findings confirm what James wrote 2,000 years ago. If a man can control his tongue, he can control his own body. Right? And I wanted to share these things with you because I think we do live in an age where communication is extremely important and vital, and what we say is crucial. Now, not everything we say is wholesome. And sometimes, you know, somebody else's tongue has hurt us, and has hurt us so deeply that we want revenge. And sometimes we take revenge by using our own weapons, which is the tongue. I think there's a Persian proverb that says, the wound of an arrow, there's an ointment for it. But the wound that's caused by the tongue, nothing can heal. I do believe that proverb, Persian proverb, is 100% accurate and 100% not accurate, because I do believe the Holy Spirit heals. Amen. Absolutely heals of the hurts of the past if we allow him. Because who's the greatest physician again in the Bible? It's Christ. But we need to allow him. Allow him to go in and heal. Now James, he says these words in chapter 3. Now, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one man's life on fire, and it itself is on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, where do we go with all this? There's a lot about the tongue. the tongue is a dangerous thing. Now, have we all made the mistake of saying the wrong thing? Absolutely. I do it every day, at least twice. God still loves me. But what God is trying to do in our lives is to sanctify us, to make us more like His Son. And that He works with us and along, He walks by our side, and He teaches us things. There are sometimes we're going to apply those fully, and sometimes we're going to fail. So it takes the will, right? It is everything we do in life, it's decision-based. We make decisions. You know, when you stand at the altar and you say, I do, you're using your tongue. I do. And with that comes responsibilities, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, it comes with it. Now, with that same tongue, you can kill a person, right? If you're a general in the army, you could just order the words, shoot. The person is dead, right? You could make great philosophical statements, and you could improve people's lives by saying or giving blessings, words of blessings. You know, there are words of blessings and words of curses, you know? I mean, you could bless people or curse people. And I do believe that both for curses, let me tell you this, curses, people will curse you. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, those curses are not going to have power over you. They're not. They're powerless. But if you have an empty spirit, that is, your soul is not full of Christ, those curses are going to come. And Satan is going to build a stronghold right within your heart. And from there, he's going to guide your life. Right? I mean, that's it. But the words of blessings can elevate you. Now, let me give you an example. If you spend 24 hours a day, right? Hopefully, you'll sleep a few hours there. But let's say, you know, you heard so many praises about what you're doing, 99 of them, right? Oh, you're such a great guy. Oh, thank you so much. You feel like, thank you, Jesus. You know, people appreciate. But then one person comes, opened their cage and said, oh, I don't like you. Now, when you go to bed, what do you think? Do you think about the 99 blessings or that one person? This is a true story. There was a pastor. He was just so, you know, wanted to appease his congregation. He was going to a new congregation. And, you know, he preached his first sermon. He spent the first 3 months, and then the congregation voted. They loved him. They truly loved him. And one of the leaders in the church came and he says, you know, the vote was unanimous. They want you to be, you know, we want you to be our pastor. So after a few months, you know, the pastor goes to this leader. He says, you know, I've been thinking about this. He says, unanimous. So was this like 100%? He says, no, there's never 100% with unanimous. It was 98%. And this pastor was just so, you know, so hurt by this. So he spent a whole year trying to appease the 2%. So when the year came after, 1 year after, they wanted to re-elect the pastor. So guess what happened? 98% voted against him and 2% voted for him. Sometimes you need to take a break and not appease those who are in the wrong. Not appease those who do not have the biblical standards. You don't have to agree. You could just say, I genuinely disagree, or I don't take this stand. And you don't have to elaborate things. You just say, I don't agree. You know, something happened with one member of my family. I was just like a bit, well, you can't say these things. But then I said, why not? You know, he was speaking with his friends, and he says, well, my faith does not allow me to believe in this. And initially I said, well, you're going to talk to their parents. I'm going panicky here. But then I said, oh, this is what I'm preaching. He's listening in the church. As a 12-year-old, he's applying. What am I doing with this? And I went, I said, you know what? Daddy has been stupid. You're absolutely right. Stand up for truth. Do we stand up for truth using our tongues or using our thumbs? Now, I'm not saying go and find trouble. Trouble will find you. Don't retaliate. Be a Christian. Love people, no matter who they are. They might disagree with you. Give them words of blessings. Maybe that might be the only blessing, no matter where they are in life, that they are receiving. You're not that, you know, imagine for a person who's trying to improve himself day in and day out, and you just say, you know what, you're really not that bad. God loves you. And I just want you to know this.
I mean, imagine what it does to the person.
Maybe that's the only blessing that they've received that day. So be a blesser. The other thing, you have to be very careful because, you know, here it gives the apostle, you know, James gives the example of that, you know, the ship with the rudder. You know, have you seen it? It's so small. You look at this big tankers, right? They're carrying billion ton of fuel, whatever it is, but they are really guided by a small rudder. Or a horse. Have you ever been on a horse? They're powerful. I can't even keep up with my dog. You know, I have to put, I mean, imagine being on a horse, right? I mean, you could guide them right and left with a little thing. So we need to be careful how we use it. Now, as I said, the tongue communicates what's inside us. The real issue is not the muscle. The real issue is the heart. That's where it comes from. So where's your heart today? At the end of the day, that's what matters. See, what God does, he works on our hearts. He doesn't change it overnight. He really doesn't. You don't go like from, you know, from being here to here. He takes you through a journey. As he heals you, then he puts you in another journey to heal more. And sometimes it takes a lifetime. So some people expect too much over 24 hours. Oh, I've been doing all the right things. I've been saying all the right things. Why are these things are not happening to my life? Well, for just a second, I didn't think you were supposed to do all these things to get something back. No, this is not give and take with God. This is working in partnership with God. Because God is trying to make us like his son. You know, when we are justified, in theology we say we're justified, Christ makes us just, then God puts us in a life of sanctification. That's a process, it's like a friction. You know, this happens in marriage. Been married for 25 years, it's a friction, right? Sometimes it's just like, once it goes smooth, then there are other areas, you go, whoa, where did this come from? It was always there, but other frictions were just hindering you from seeing this. And then what you need here is the oil of Christ. I'm not talking about holy oil here. Oil that is just the healing power of Christ. He always is there. That's why, you know, marriage was God's idea. And, you know, God needs to be in the center because it really helps. Don't you agree? It really, really helps. Because, you know, you take Christ out of the picture, then things are going to go wobbly. The tongue. So my homework to you this week is this. You need to take 24 hours. Try. I'm not going to give you this hard work of not saying anything. Try 24 hours saying nothing bad and write it down. And it will be hard. It will be hard for you not to criticize something, especially in the world that we're living in. You know, the tongue goes crazy the moment we turn those TVs on. Oh, I can't believe it. Don't watch TV. If that's going to open the cage, don't turn it on. You know, watch Love Boat. You've got, you know, they used to, when I was a teenager, that's what they used to play. You know, we were like, wow. And it was just so wholesome compared to what they do today, right? Watch cartoons, you know, Tom and Jerry. You laugh. Don't say anything bad, you know. The mouse, yeah, the cat always has it, the Tom has always, you know, a hard time. But try it, 24 hours, because if we really want to move forward in life, we really need to discipline ourselves in order to really start cleansing our souls. So decide, and the more you do it, the better it becomes. The other thing within those 24 hours, read scriptures. Can you memorize one verse from the Bible? Not just read it, just memorize one verse. With the exception, rejoice always, that's one verse, or Jesus wept. Now, I'm not talking about those little two verse, you know, just for by grace we've been saved, right? Not through works. Or you know, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So if the brain, if it's true, and somebody commented about this, if the brain, the way we think, is that the tongue is just, you know, plays a major role in communicating our thoughts and also affecting our body. Now, if you think you're really sick, you're going to become sick, right? If you really think that you are sick, you're going to become sick.
I always say, you really want to be sick, right?
No, but I said, every day you talk about your sickness.
Concentrate your efforts to talk about something else. Change your mind and your tongue will change. See, the more you declare curse is going to be part of your life. And there are two types of prayers you need to do. And I'll finish the sermon on this. I've always said this, but I'll say it for the benefit of the people online as well. There are certain prayers I say loud, right? I say loud. If I'm praying for somebody, I will pray it loud. I will ask for things loud. But there are certain prayers I will say it in my heart. But people say, why do you do that? I'll tell you. Because we are surrounded by the accuser. He is not omnipresent nor omniscient like God. See, God knows what's in our thoughts, what's in our hearts. Even before we utter them, He knows. But Satan is not omnipresent or omniscient. So he doesn't know what I'm thinking. But the moment this tongue declares it, he is already aware. So he will use that against me. So what I do is there are certain prayers that I'm going to declare. If there are prayers of concern or prayers of... I will say those silently. God hears it. Remember what Jesus says. If you want to pray, go to your room and pray in secret to your Father. Sometimes we don't put these together. We are secret prayers that we can pray. Remember Hannah when she was praying in the temple? She was murmuring. She was pouring her heart to God. And then, of course, she was misunderstood. It's okay to be misunderstood. But there are certain praises we must declare them with our tongue. We must claim them. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Lord of Glory. You are the only one who is powerful enough. Declare those. Use scripture and declare them. Even in the midst of pain and suffering. Lord, be merciful. I'm grateful. You elevate your own soul. The Holy Spirit is present. So declare those truths. But there are things that you must ask God in secret. Go to your knees. If you can't knee, just go on the chair. And just pour your heart. And God hears it. It's not the amount of prayers you say. It's not the amount of time you spend. It's not the amount even of the things you utter. God already knows. You could stay in silent there. And God is hearing your heart. So what is your heart's biggest desire that you're afraid to declare it? Because you know there could be, you know, go and declare it. But always start with praise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is. It's all about praise. It's about God the Father. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, then it's just our needs. And then protect us from the evil. So always start with praise. What you think is what you are. There's some truth in that. And when people say things about you, that's the final thing. I've got so many conclusions here. When people say bad things about you, there will always be people. Satan is the great accuser. And what would he use? He will use people. Don't pay too much attention of what people say. The first question you need to ask, are they biblical? Are they biblical in what they are saying? Do they love you enough to tell? Look, I've got friends who tell me things that are harsh. But they love me enough to tell me. Have friends like that. You can't find many, but there will always be few. And you can trust them. They're saying these things for your own good. But don't listen to everybody. Some people are very jealous, and jealousy can do a lot of things, a lot of damage. They will make you believe in lies that are not true. Don't waste your time nor your energy. Just look at them and say, if Christ is for me, who can be against me? That's it. This is the truth of the gospel. If Christ is for me, who can be against me? And we live our lives accordingly. So let's be careful of this guy. You know, he is between cage for a reason and a purpose. Don't grind your teeth. We've got a great dentist here, if you do. Don't grind your teeth. Just close them. You have to, you know, but pray, Lord, if you want me to say something at times, help me to say it in the right way that will bring glory to you. And you know, there are sometimes you could pray within 10 seconds, 10 seconds, you know, before you say anything. And if there's something controversial that's going on, always pray before you say. And that always helps because you're involving God. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue. And then before we finish with our last song, It Is Well With My Soul, I'm thinking about Christmas Eve already, right? Now, I don't know how this COVID is going to appear its ugly head over the next 2 months. But let me tell you, before Christmas, we have Thanksgiving next Sunday. And we have 4 kids who are going to affirm their faith. They've gone through this affirmation classes. Some of them are going to be physically here. Some of them are going to do it virtually. But we're all going to be able to see them. So if you can come, let's come and support these kids. Pray for them. And we've got some little gifts there that's been prepared by our lovely Mari here. So she will be in Chicago next week, but we are going to give those gifts to them as well. So that's next Sunday. And for Christmas Eve, we usually celebrate Christmas Eve like a day or two before the 24th. I don't know, we're controversial, right? It's okay. Nobody knows when Jesus was born. Most probably it was in July. It was in December 24th. But we do it a day or two before. We will not be able to put 100 people or 120 people in this sanctuary. But what I was thinking, and I have to give credit where it's due, because my wife is online now, picking my daughter from the airport. If I say this wrong, I'll be sleeping on the sofa tonight. But she said, what about having a candlelight service outside, where we're all dressed and we cover our heads if it's cold, except if it's really rainy and this, and just sing Christmas songs. And I said, that's great. Can I have that idea and make it my own? She said, no, it's my idea. I said, all right, you just think about it. I would love to hear your feedback, the pluses and the minuses. But again, it's not going to be an hour and a half service. We'll do it a shorter service, like maybe 40 minutes or 35 minutes. Right? And Tamar, you give me the date. Whenever it works for you, we'll organize it accordingly. So, right? And now we're going to end our service by singing our last song. And this is the time also to bring our offerings to God. And for those of you who are online, you could do it through our secure online giving, thecrk.com, and you could just go and click giving. Thank you. And then here we are with our last song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Sky, my love.
You know, sometimes when we sing these songs, I wonder if we think those people who wrote them, and, you know, just very briefly, the person who wrote this song in the original lyrics, he was a father from Chicago, who was a businessman, who lost a lot of his business in the Chicago fire, and this was in the 1800s. And he decided to send his wife and his three daughters to England on a vacation, just so that they get just, you know, they change their atmosphere and environment. You know, I don't know, if you lose your business overnight, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on the family. So as they were going to England, the ship unfortunately sinks right in the middle of Atlantic Ocean. And the only survivor there is the wife, where she's rescued and taken to England with three of their daughters dead. And then when Horatio, who wrote the lyrics, he hears this, he gets on the next ship to England to be with his wife. And then as he is traveling, he is told by the people that this is where the ship sank, where it claimed the lives of your daughters. It is on his trip to England, he writes this song, a Christian man who lost a lot in life. He said, "When peace like a river, you know, attended my way." And then he says, "It is well with my soul." You know, those are not just, you know, sometimes when we listen or sing these songs, they're always, you know, not the modern songs. Sometimes, unfortunately, modern songs are written because, you know, they want popularity, this and that. And I don't want to, you know, bash anybody. Remember, we're talking about the tongue. But a lot of those hymns that were written, there's always a story behind it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, we sing it. But the person who wrote it was a slave owner. And he brought slaves from Africa until he came to faith. And he realized, you know, what an amazing grace he has through Christ. And we sing them, but we really need to know somehow the background of these things. And sometimes, you know, you might end up writing a song or a poem or a psalm out of your, you know, life journey. Just because David wrote psalms, it doesn't mean that you cannot write them. Your life will determine what type of a psalm you will write. It could be a praise song, it could be a praise and a crying out song, but it could be both as well. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you and your loved ones, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. There is coffee, and we are basically saying people to, you know, to socially distance themselves. And for those of you who are online, it's great having you. I look forward to having you again next week. I want to remind you again that we do have Bible studies on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. It's all via Zoom, so do join us. We're dealing with the book of Revelation, and this week we are going to talk about beasts. Not Harry Potter, but beasts. So God bless you. Until next week. Bye-bye.